faces back learning together with us in person. And to all those who got married since the last time we saw, mazel tov to you. To all those who had children, mazel tov to all of you. And we should be able to see each other in happy times like these. As long as we are talking about happy times, obviously it's always a simcha, it's always a joy to learn Torah together. But as we all know, we are now in the saddest time of the year. We are approaching Tisha B'Av. And I know last week we spoke a little bit about Inyanei Eretz Yisrael. I'm just going to take the opportunity to do that again. I know that this is a Pirkei Avos shir, and somehow we could always relate everything back to Pirkei Avos. At some point we will. Don't be concerned. But for now, I just thought Inyanei D'Yoma is a little bit more important for us, just to have an appreciation for the days that we are in and for Tisha B'Av that is upon us. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, one of the great Jewish philosophers. He was the author of the Sefer HaKuzari. Sefer HaKuzari is an amazing Sefer. It was written in the 12th century, and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi tells a story. It's not clear whether or not this is a true story, but he tells a story about a Melech HaKuzarim. He tells a story about a king who was trying to figure out how to choose the proper religion. And he makes a decision that he's going to have a dialogue between himself and many different religions. So he goes and he has a discussion with a philosopher. He then goes and he has a discussion with a Christian. And then he has a discussion with a Muslim. And ultimately he has a discussion with a rabbi. And that was Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. That's what he claims. And he poses all of these questions about Yiddishkeit, about Judaism. And he wants to know, what is the Jewish faith? How does the Jewish faith respond to all of these issues that are outlined in the conversation? Rabbi Yehuda Halevi thought that this was a very foundational discussion for every Jew to be aware of. This is not just how we present ourselves to the outside world. It's a question, how do we present ourselves to ourselves? How do we understand what our mission is? How do we understand what our goal, what our value is, and how the Jewish people are supposed to live? And that is why he wrote the Sefer HaKuzari. So it's a very important and seminal work. In fact, one of the Talmidei HaGra writes in the name of his Rebbe that the Vilna Gaon used to learn the Sefer HaKuzari because he said it was Kadosh V'Tahar. V'ikare emunas Yisrael v'Torah teluyim ba. He said that the most foundational principles of everything that a Jew is about can all be found in the Sefer HaKuzari, and that's why it is very important. What I want to focus on in the Kuzari is one passage that is so central, that is so important, and it's vital to our understanding of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael in our lives. So let's look, let's read it together. For those who may not have, there should be more copies there, somewhere on the Bima. If there are none left, maybe just sit next to somebody else who can share with you. And let us go through this passage together. Amar HaKuzari. So the way that the whole Sefer is structured is, you have the Melech HaKuzarim presenting a question, and then it is responded to by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. So he says, the Melech HaKuzarim asks a question, and then the Chacham responds. So here's the question. Masha Amarta, he says, you know, we've had many conversations that you refer to yourself as the Am Eloka. You refer to yourselves as the nation of God. You are the Am HaNivchar. You are the ones who are chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kvar Nisbarli, he says, it makes sense to me. I understand. You gave me an interpretation. You explained to me why it is that you feel that way, why it is that that is correct. However, Ulam, Masha Amarta Be'eretz Eloka, what does it mean when you say that you live in a land, or you're supposed to be connected to a land that is the godly land? What does it mean that a land is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you understand that? And that was the question that was posed. Basically, why is Eretz Yisrael significant in your life? That is the basic question that the Melech HaKuzarim presents to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. And he writes, Kashali Lekabelzos. It's hard for me to understand what that means. It's hard for me to appreciate what that really is supposed to represent. Amar HaChaver. So he says that he responded and he said as follows, Ein kol koshi lekabel es hahanacha. It shouldn't be hard for you to accept Ki eretz achas nisyachta bidvar ma mishar kol haaretzus. Why is it so hard for you to understand that one place, that one location was chosen above all other locations? As we know, look at any country in the world. You have a place in that country that is singled out to be the capital. You have a place in every state that is singled out to be the most important part of that state. You have a city, perhaps, that is more significant than any other. So he says, why is it hard for you to understand that there's a place in the world that is highlighted more than any other as well? And that is Eretz Yisrael. That shouldn't be so hard for you to understand. Ein am segula. But then he adds and he says, although this is true, that Albany is the capital of New York State. And although it's true that Washington, D.C. is the most important, I wouldn't say the most important, but that is the hub of the United States. That's where all the important discussions go on. And in some way, it's more significant than any other state or any other province in the entire country. That is true. However, he says, I'm going to add a point here, and that is, Ein am segula yachol lehidavek be'inyan ha'eloki ki'im be'eretz hazos. We all, as Jews, have a quest to become more closely connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Writes the Kuzari, the only way we're able to do that effectively and connect with the Ribono Shel Olam properly is Be'eretz Hazos. So it's not just that Eretz Yisrael was singled out and it's more significant than any other place. It was singled out, and that is the only place in the world where we have the ability to effectively connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the profound levels that we are supposed to. Amar HaKuzari. So now he responds to him and he asks, Ha'umnam, is that true? Halomei Adam HaRishon Biad Moshe. Don't we know that from the days of Adam HaRishon until Moshe Rabbeinu, Nivu Rabim Bimekomos Acherim. Don't we know that there were many great people who connected with God in other locations? Now, what's the highest level of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nivuah, prophecy. So he says, weren't there many prophets who had prophecy outside of Eretz Yisrael? So what do you mean? The only way you can effectively connect and communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Eretz Yisrael? Is that true? Avram Be'ur Kazdim. Avram Avinu was not in Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed up and spoke with Avram Avinu, communicated with him, and yet they had that communication. They spoke to each other, not in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, I'll give you another example. Yecheskel. When did Yecheskel live? In the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So here he is outside of Eretz Yisrael, and yet Yecheskel is communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's connecting with him, even though he's not there. And even though that was the story of Yecheskel HaNavi, as well as Avraham Avinu, Daniel also had the same thing. So he asks, how could it be? I don't understand. If Yirmiah was in Mitzrayim, and Daniel was in Bavel, and Yecheskel was outside of Eretz Yisrael, and Avraham Avinu was in Ur Kasdim, what do you mean that Eretz Yisrael is the only way to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Amar HaChaver, so he responds. Everybody with me? Where it says Yud Dalet on the page? Good? Amar HaChaver, Kol Mishin Esnabe, it's true that those Nevi'im had a Nevuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. However, he says, Kol Misha Nisnave, anyone who had a prophecy, Lo Nisnave Ki'im Be'eretz Hazos, O Ba'avura. So while it's true that all the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu only happened in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to ask me, what about Avraham Avinu and Daniel and Yecheskel HaNavi and all these other personalities? The answer is, all of their Nevuah was about Eretz Yisrael. So there's never been a situation where a Jew in Chutz Laretz was able to connect on the highest level with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it wasn't regarding Eretz Yisrael. Kach zacha Avram l'nevuas harishona. When did Avram Avinu have the first connection with the Ribono Shel Olam? It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed up and told him, Lech lecha me'artzcha mimoladetecha la'artz asher ereka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates to Avram Avinu that Eretz Yisrael is significant and I want you to go there. So it's not just that somebody in Chutz Laretz has the ability to connect. It's not true. We don't have the ability to connect. And this he writes, what about Yirmiyahu b'Mitzrayim? What was Yirmiyahu having Nevuah about? It was about the day when the Jewish people will come back and return to Eretz Yisrael. Kamoa k'nevuas Moshe Aaron u'Miriam. And he says, you think about how much and how significant, how central Eretz Yisrael seems to be. And that, I believe, the reason why I think this is so important for us to be aware of is, this is what we lack when we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. This is what it is, that we are restricted in our ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the highest level possible. It just cannot happen when we live in Chutz Laretz and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, when we don't have Eretz Yisrael. It just cannot happen. And that is what we mourn during the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and certainly on Tisha B'Av as well. He then goes further and he says, let's take a little tour through Jewish history. And let's think about the history of Eretz Yisrael. Be'eretz Hazos, in this land Eretz Yisrael, Notzar Adam HaRishon. In this land Adam HaRishon was created. Uba Meis, and that is where Adam HaRishon died as well. How do we know? Where's Adam HaRishon buried? So there's a tradition that Adam HaRishon is buried in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Right? We have a Mesorah, we have a tradition that Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Yaakov and Leah are all in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. So it means that Adam HaRishon must have died in Eretz Yisrael. Al hazos, al ha'aretz hazos, nafla ha'machlokes v'hakina b'rishona b'in Hevel u'b'in Kain. Kain and Hevel had a terrible fight. Now we've seen sibling rivalry before. It's happened many times. It continues to happen. But the question is, you were the only two people in the world. Literally, one of, not two, but one of five people in the world. You couldn't figure out how to work it out. The world is big enough. So what's the issue? They were so petty, they just couldn't figure out how to get along. Why didn't they go to Adam HaRishon and say, you know, we have a problem. We can't get along with each other. Adam HaRishon would have said, you know, you go to Africa and you go to Asia and we'll all be fine. What's the issue? What were they fighting about? Writes the Kuzari. What was the essence? Were they so small-minded? Is that what they were bickering about? Just something small? They just couldn't live together in the same house? What was it? Kasher bikshu ladas mi mishneim yirtza lavo b'makom Adam. Question was, we have Adam HaRishon. Someone is going to carry on the torch after Avraham Avinu, after Adam HaRishon passes away. Kiskulaso vigarino. Ubazeh yehu hayoresh esaoretz. Kain and Hevel, there was a consequential matter that was being discussed here. There was tremendous magnitude. This was of great import to them. Why? Because the fight was, who has rights to Eretz Yisrael? Someone is going to have this land, but who's going to be the one? And that's what brought Kain and Hevel to have this tremendous blow-up. It wasn't just that they were being petty. Of course, the world is a big place. There's plenty of space for everybody, especially when you're only five people in the world. That wasn't the issue. The issue was, who is going to be the one who ends up getting Eretz Yisrael? And that's what to fight about. There is what to fight about. V'achiv lo yiyakiyim keklipa. V'az ma'kara ma'shakara, he says, and then unfortunately we know what happened. Ba'aretz ahi banu ha'avos mizbechos. Let's talk about in Jewish history what happened in the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Jews built so many altars, so many mizbeach, one generation after the other offered karbanos u'ba'karu b'shem Hashem. This is the place where they cried out, where they connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that venue. Afnenu sham be'esh min ha-shamayim uva'or ha-eloki. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded and he sent fire from heaven to show that he was responding. Akedes Yitzchak ha'isa be'eretz hazos. Al har sh'amad az b'shimamaso. When did Avraham Avinu do Akedes Yitzchak? You know, you have the vision, you have the image as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Avraham Avinu to this place. And when he got there, he saw there was a golden mountain and it was all finished and furnished and he knew exactly where to go. That's not the case. You ever been to the Catskills? Or anywhere else? Catskills is a bad example because it is inhabited. Go to a place out in Yellowstone National Park and you'll see all the trees look the same, all the forests look the same, and you have no idea where you're going unless you have a Google Maps or something, some way that you're able to get yourself around. You have no idea where you're going. Avraham Avinu, that's where he went. It wasn't finished at the time. He had no idea where he was going. But Avraham Avinu was told to go and that's where he went. Which turned into Har HaMoriah. Look at the self-sacrifice. Look what he gave. Look what he infused into Eretz Yisrael, into the Makom HaMikdash. Rak la'achar zman. Generations later, David HaMelech comes around and he says, now that we have a built up Yerushalayim, now it's time to build up the Har HaBayis. Now let's build a Beis HaMikdash. And he goes ahead and he establishes the foundations of a Beis HaMikdash, which is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was supposed to rest his Shechina. Next paragraph, Ala Aratzahi Nafla Hakina Ben Yitzchak Ben Yishmael. Why did Yitzchak and Yishmael hate each other so much? What was the fight about? What are we still fighting about? We're jealous of Yishmael. What's the animosity all about? What's this hatred for? What's the issue? Are we that petty we can't get along? Figure it out. Get a mediator in the room. Figure it out. Work out your disagreements. No. The issue is, Al ha'aretz ahi nafla hakina. They're fighting once again about who has rights to Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov and Esav. They have an issue with each other. It's the same thing. They're fighting over who has rights to Eretz Yisrael. V'yiten lecha Elokim mital ha-shamayim mishmani ha-aretz, right? The bracha of Yitzchak Avinu. But who ends up with Eretz Yisrael? Who gets Eretz Yisrael? Ki lecha tenana u'lezarecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, you're going to have it, Your children are going to have it, and this is your birthright. This is something that's going to be yours forever. Be'eretz hahi. Next paragraph. Be'eretz hahi hayu below safek. Hamakomos shematzu ru'uyim lihikare shari hashamayim. We have a tradition, we understand, writes Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, that Eretz Yisrael is the gateway, it's the portal of entry to the heavens. Halo tire ki Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu was a great tzaddik. And yet, when is the first time that he has this unbelievable vision? When does he have this image of Malachei Elokim Olam V'Yordim Bo? When he sees a ladder and he sees that there are angels going up and down and communicating with him. When does that happen? Only when Vayifka Bamakom Vayalan Sham. Only when he's traveling and he ends up going to the Har HaMoriah and he falls asleep there. And in his dream, he has this vision, he has this imagery, and he finally gains an understanding of what it means to be at Shar HaShamayim. Writes the Sefer HaKuzari, why does he refer to it as Shar HaShamayim? Because we believe that Yerushalayim, that Eretz Yisrael, is the portal of entry to the heavens. And that is the only place where Yaakov Avinu has such an intense vision. V'chein ataroeh. Ki bechir anshe askula Avram acharei olaso b'madrego shlemos v'hasiyoso. After Avram Avinu reaches perfection, after he transcends the natural way of life of everybody else, roi lihidavik b'inyan ha'eloki, hu avar me'artzo ala makama hu asher bo levad yagia letachlis ha'shlemos. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask Avram Avinu to move to Eretz Yisrael? Everything was doing fine. The Medrash tells us Avram Avinu hikir es bora. Avram Avinu somehow looked into the world and figured out how to find, how to identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody taught him. He didn't go to school. So Avraham Avinu was doing really well. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to uproot him and say, go somewhere else? Because the answer is, you cannot reach perfection. You cannot transcend the normal course of events of every other life that any other human being is living unless you live and inhabit the land of Eretz Yisrael. Think about it from this perspective. We're about to embark on a journey of Shemitah this coming year. What does that mean that you have an entire land that is Kadosh LaHashem? How do you have land that is sanctified, that is holy? You're not going to work the land. Why are you not working the land? What's the impediment? Because we believe, he says, that this land really does have an extraordinary quality. And there's something very unique and special, something very different about the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's the only place in the world where we have the opportunity to deeply connect with the Ribono Shel Olam on the most profound and highest levels. The Kuzari goes on and on. I don't have to continue. You got the point. But the Kuzari, if you look in it, in the original, he just continues to explain the significance of Eretz Yisrael in Jewish history and how central the focus needs to be on why it is that Eretz Yisrael is important to us. An observation that has always been so inspiring to me is, think about the first time that the Ribono Shel Olam reveals himself and communicates and has an exchange with any of the great leaders throughout Chumash. What was the first conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Avraham Avinu? What was the first communication? Avraham Avinu was assumed to be the first Jew. Again, was he really a Jew before Matan Torah? Good question, doesn't matter. Avraham Avinu was the first believer in God. What was the first conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with him? Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha el ha'eretz asher areka. The first open exchange the Ribono Shel Olam chooses to have with the first giant of our people is about Eretz Yisrael. Go a little bit further in history. Yitzchak Avinu is the same. What happens? Yitzchak is living a great life. He's growing up in his father's home. And he gets married. Everything's great. And he's living in Eretz Yisrael. And then, one fine day, Vayihi Ra'av Ba'aretz, there's a famine. Now, what is somebody supposed to do when there's a famine? What is anybody supposed to, forget the famine, what is anybody supposed to do when they're faced with a challenging circumstance in their life? You look to those who came before you and you try to see, how did they handle it? What would they have done? So Yitzchak Avinu decides to do the same thing. This is not the first time there was a famine in the land of Israel. I remember I have written down in the family history book that my father, Avraham Avinu, had the same thing. So let's look back. What did he do? And what does it say? Avraham Avinu leaves Eretz Yisrael to go get himself food. Vayihi rav ba'aretz. Now all of a sudden, history repeats itself. Yitzchak Avinu is faced with the same challenging circumstance as his father was. Well, I should do the same thing my father did. And he starts venturing out of Eretz Yisrael to travel to Mitzrayim. That's where he can provide for himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first time the Ribbono Shel Olam ever appears to Yitzchak Avinu is on that occasion. And what does he say? Al Tered Mitzrayim. Don't leave Eretz Yisrael. Shchon Ba'aretz Hazos. I want you to stay in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, when's the first revelation that he has with the Ribbono Shel Olam? V'hineh Hashem nitzav alav vayomar. We're told that when Yaakov Avinu has this image in his dream, and he sees Malachi Elokim olav v'yordimo, suddenly he sees an image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing above him. And what does the Ribbono Shel Olam tell him? Ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleh. I want you to know this land that you are falling asleep on, this place where you have chosen to rest. This will be yours forever. And then he goes on and he says, there's going to be a difficult history and you're going to go into Gullus and you're going to have problems and you're going to have persecution. But don't forget, God promises Yaakov Avinu, you'll come back to the land of Eretz Yisrael. I will never forsake you. I will always be good on my promise and make sure that ultimately you have the opportunity to return to the land of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, Adon HaNaviim, the greatest of all prophets that ever lived. What was the first communication he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Moshe Rabbeinu is at the Sneh, and he sees this unbelievable scene. HaSneh Einenu Ukal. He sees something is on fire, but it's not getting consumed. And he realizes there's something greater here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then responds to him and he says, I want you to know, you are going to be the one to save Klal Yisrael. You're going to go to Mitzrayim. You're going to lead them out of Egypt. And what is the plan? You're going to do all of that. Lahaloso min ha'aretz ahi. I want you to take them from that land. El eretz zavas chalav udvash. Your mission in life is to get the Jewish people from place A to place B. But what is place B? That is going to be Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua ben Nun. What was the first communication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with him on a personal level? The Ribbono Shel Olam shows up and he says, Moshe Avdi Meis, Yoshua ben Nun, now you're in charge. Your leader has died. And I've singled you out to be the one to lead the Jewish people. And your job is, Ata Kum Avoris HaYarden Azeh. I want you to take the Jewish people over the Yarden, over the Jordan River, and make sure that they make it into the land of Eretz Yisrael. Can this be coincidental? Is it possible to ignore how significant the first communication, the first exchange that the Ribbono Shel Olam had with Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Yoshua ben Nun is all about Eretz Yisrael? Is that just a coincidence? It's impossible. It cannot be. That can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu unintentionally decided to do that. That had to be premeditated. There was a reason for it. Because the most significant part of the Jewish story and the most vital of our ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only in the land of Eretz Yisrael. We have a long history of an enduring history of Klal Yisrael and their connection to Eretz Yisrael. And it's deep and it's profound, and the spiritual connection that has been found there is amazing. And it's gone in waves. It happens to be a fascinating phenomenon. The Vilna Gaon, who lived at the end of the 1700s, decided that it was his mission in life to get people to move to Eretz Yisrael. Now, why? What was the reason for that? So he had some kind of understanding. The Navi Yeshaya writes, "Uberachamim gedolim akabtzech." That means, with great mercy, I will gather in the exiles, I'll bring everyone back to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon said, it's bigamatria, Eliyahu ben Shlomo Zalman. You'll go work it out at home, you'll see if it actually works. But he said, oh, Berachamim gedolim akabtzech is a pasuk that none of us ever heard of, but the Vilna Gaon knew everything. So He said, oh, that's the pasuk about Geula, and the gematria of that pasuk is my name, so it must be that I'm supposed to be the one who is encouraging people to move back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? But that's what he did. The Vilna Gaon really encouraged a lot of his students to move to Eretz Yisrael. And this was in the beginning of the 1800s. What's fascinating about it is, the Vilna Gaon was one of the great opposers of Hasidus. The Baal Shem Tov lived around the same time. The Baal Shem Tov was the founder of the movement of Hasidus. The Vilna Gaon went on a crusade against him. Again, it was a machlokas l'shem shamayim. They loved each other, but they had very, very different opinions about how to lead the Jewish people. And the Baal Shem Tov was doing his thing, and the Vilna Gaon was doing his, but they were very much at odds with each other. What I find fascinating about this piece of history is that both of them decided that this was the right time to start sending people to Eretz Yisrael. Just so happens to be, the Vilna Gaon sends his first group of Talmidim to Eretz Yisrael, very small group, like 30 people or so, and he sends them to Eretz Yisrael. Now, where are they supposed to go? There was no Yishuv. So they do a little bit of homework, and they find out there's a small Jewish community in Tveria. So they move up to Tveria. Now, who was the Jewish community of Tveria? The Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. So that became a problem. You have this small group of Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon who moved. They're looking for a Jewish community. They move out to Tveria to go join the Jews who already came 20 years before them. And they realize, hey, this is not going to work. You're davening Nusach Svard, we're davening Nusach Ashkenaz. You believe in the Baal Shem Tov's way of life. We believe in the Vilna Gaon. This is not going to work. And they moved out. Ultimately, they moved out. But this was the beginning of that movement. And it went in three different installments. Three different groups were led by the Vilna Gaon. It's questionable why the Vilna Gaon himself never ended up making it to Eretz Yisrael. It's not exactly clear what went wrong. The Vilna Gaon writes a letter to his family that along the way, he's traveling to Eretz Yisrael, he left everything behind, and he writes a letter back saying that he's so excited and he really wants to get there and he can't wait. And then for some reason, something happened along the way. There are a lot of different speculations over the years as to why it is that he had to turn around. But be it as it may, over the next, between 1800 and 1830 or 40, there were many, many different Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon who moved to Eretz Yisrael and who tried to really get others and inspire others to do the same. One of those great students, one of those great leaders of his own right, was Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov was one of the youngest Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, and he felt very much empowered by this instruction that the Vilna Gaon left him. He was the one who was there when the Vilna Gaon actually passed away. So he was really the last one who was connected with the Vilna Gaon. And he felt very much empowered. And he gave everything in his life to try to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he says, he writes as follows. He had an introduction to a book called Pa'as HaShulchan. He wrote a very significant set of svarim called Pa'as HaShulchan. And he writes in the introduction, Eretz Yisrael chaviva li tuva. Eretz Yisrael is so beloved to me. Why? Ki biyisurim rabim amdali. An interesting statement. Eretz Yisrael is so beloved to me because I went through so many hardships to get there. Asher zachisi lehistafeach benachlas Hashem. He says, I suffered so much getting myself to Eretz Yisrael. I've had so much difficulty, so much hardship and adversity, but I feel so blessed to have this opportunity. Emes ma nehadar yeshivas ha'aretz hatova. How beautiful is it to inhabit this land. Emes ma nifla chibas artzenu. How moving is it to see how much the Jewish people love this land. Emes ma na'e kadosh ziv hadar yeshivasa v'alichasa. How lucky we are to experience the joy that Jews have to be walking the streets once again. And then he writes, Gam bechurbana. Even though Eretz Yisrael is in shambles, it's in complete disrepair. Gam bechurbana ein dimyona. There is nothing like it, even when it is in total destruction. Bishimemusa ein kamosa. There is nothing like Eretz Yisrael, even when it is completely desolate. Eretz Yisrael is greater than any other place in the world, and I'm willing to give anything for it. Now the Gemara does tell us, like many good things in life, Ein Eretz Yisrael Niknes Ela B'Yisurim. The only way we will have the opportunity to once again come back to the land of Eretz Yisrael is with great and significant hardship. And unfortunately, we know that that is the reality that we have lived through and many other great Jews have lived through. There's been so much hardship and so much difficulty. Just to give a perspective of how much people have been willing to do for Eretz Yisrael. You know, we don't think about it living here in America, living in the comforts of America. We don't think about what it means to sacrifice for Eretz Yisrael. Listen to this account of Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. I put it there on the sheet. It's amazing when he describes what he went through. Uvachein gam alai chova lahazkir ha'yisurim v'tzara she'avar alai b'yisurei Eretz Yisrael. Let me describe to you, he says, what I've been through that brought me to this moment in my life. So I'm gratified and I feel amazing that I'm here. But let me just give you a glimpse. Anybody in this room thinks they've suffered Yisurim? I'm sure everybody has in some small or larger way, unfortunately. Listen to this. You've heard nothing. Vayihi b'shnas tafkuf ayin gimel. It was in the year 1813. When I came back from Russia, he says, acharei ezarni harachaman v'yisadati yisodas kavuas liyishiv artzeinu b'chog liloseinu. I was traveling around trying to convince people that this is a worthy endeavor, that Eretz Yisrael is something we should focus our attention on. Pagati bizman saros hamagefa begalil hakadosh rachmana litzlan. At that time, I was afflicted with this awful epidemic that was going around in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Lo takum pa'amayim tzara. I hope never again in the history of the world will there be an epidemic like this one, which pales in comparison to anything we've seen since. V'tasa b'nei adam kidigei hayam rachmana litzlan. Human beings were like dead fish in the sea. You would walk the streets, there were people dying everywhere, he says. V'yibruchu anashim rabim mibarus v'liyaris b'shiyaris. 1813, he writes, they did social distancing. They ran away to the desert so that they could be alone. I don't want to catch an infection from somebody else. Gamani ibn Ebesi nasanu li'ir HaKodesh Yerushalayim. So my family decided at that time, there was so much illness going around in our community in Tiberia up in the Galil, so we decided we had to go to Yerushalayim. Ani b'derech, as I'm traveling to Yerushalayim, Mesa alai navas besi eshes ne'urim hatznua, my beloved wife, the beautiful woman, Yiras Hashem, maras henya, tehei nafsha tzura b'tzur hachayim. He writes that he lost his wife. Ve'ekbara b'derech b'ir HaKodesh shefaram, I had no choice but to bury her there along the way. U'bevoyim kol b'nei besi li'ir HaKodesh Yerushalayim. So here we are traveling from the Galil to Yerushalayim, to get away from all the sickness. My wife just passed away. Gam sham matzasi mechadarim ema v'chashecha. As I'm traveling, I see a dangerous, frightening set of circumstances in front of me. Ole modes v'chaloneinu. Once again, I'm struck with death in my family. V'shama neklesi b'keflayim. And there I was smitten twice. B'ni yatzuni v'einam. Bachure Chemer Chamude Levavi, two of my children passed away. Barishona, Hechel Hanagin, Venilka Chasni Hamuflag Hashanan V'yari Shamayim Rab Yoel. My son-in-law Yoel passed away, and he was the child of Rab Yudel, whoever that was. Shana Acharav, a year later, Niftara Biti Atznua. A year later, his own wife died. So he said, I lost my wife, I lost my son-in-law, a year later, I lost my daughter. Vinishar mimena tino kaben yakir liishi, had a young child, and who's going to take care of the kid? I'm the only family member who's able to take care of him. Nechti amuflag, I have this beautiful grandchild, El Yakum. Visavalti yisurim rabim legadlo adhaya ben chafshana. I did my best to raise him till he was 20, which was not easy for me. Vinilkach gam ke mimenu bimatsoi hachag de matsoi shvias 1834. That grandchild, after I did everything to invest in him, to raise him, he passes away in 1834. Achar kach, after that, niftar b'ni ha-nechmad. Have you ever read a story like this? He lost his wife, his son-in-law, his daughter, his grandson, then another son. Ubiti ha-nechmada maras Esther, then my daughter. Achar kach niftar b'ni ha-nechmad, then my son, ubay lai shmua rami galil, sheniftar adoni avi. I forgot about my father. My father was behind in the Galil. Now I got a message that he passed away also. And then he writes his mother. So this is the story of Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. Hayisi shochev al agag. Look at the three dots there. Hayisi shochev al agag. I was lying on the roof. Bolche umesnapel umeschanin lefnei avinu shebashamayim. I was crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are you doing to me? I sacrificed my entire life to have people move to Eretz Yisrael. What is this? Ubiti atznua mara shendel haisagamken katana chola mutelas ayadi. I had my daughter, Shendel, my youngest child, was on my lap. Vidamosi alechiai, and she sees that I'm crying. Eini yardu mayim al kol asher over alai. I was crying uncontrollably because of everything that had happened. Gadol kayam shivri. And from the depths of my heart, milin b'shafel kol hatachana, I cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asher ez dake yishkon nochach shar shamayim leimar. I cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is willing to look at people who feel so downtrodden. Ana melech malei rachamim. God who is so merciful and who cares about his children. Chos na v'rachem alai u'sheris pleitas beis Yisrael. Ud mutzal me'esh, have a little rachmanus on me. All I'm left with is this one child. Acharei shulcha ha'em al habanim. V'tafasti maisa avinu hazaken Yaakov avinu. And he said, I did what Yaakov avinu did. And that is, when Yaakov was in tremendous distress in his own life, he made a nether, he made a promise. Im yelo kimi madi, if God will be with me, yushmarani baderech hazer asher anochi holeich, and he'll take care of me on this journey that I'm about to venture out to do. Yaakov Avinu makes a promise that he's going to come back and he's going to offer karbanos, he's going to do something positive. Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov makes a promise, if you save the remaining parts of my family, I will dedicate my life to write a sefer outlining all of the mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, all of the mitzvahs that are relevant to Eretz Yisrael. And that is what he did. He has to this day probably the most authoritative sefer on mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz. He went ahead with his promise. But you understand from here how much somebody was willing to sacrifice for this dream of building up the yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. It is all in their schus. It's all in their merit. Everything we have today started with these amazing Jews. These people who are willing to do all of that, and it continues to this day. All the sacrifice, all the pain, all the loss, all the endurance is the only reason why we have anything that we have today. For those of us who unfortunately live in Chutz La'aretz, and yes, it's unfortunate. It's not where we're supposed to be. We don't belong here. And we don't have the schus yet to move to Eretz Yisrael. Some people have had that great opportunity. Some of us have not yet. Some of us, I hope, are dreaming about it or planning for it. But we're missing so much. The Medrash writes in Tehillim, Mikan Amru, Kal Mishu Mispala B'Yerushalayim. Anyone who offers a tefillah in Yerushalayim, Ki Ilu Mispala Lefnei Kisei HaKavod. It annoys me that this Medrash was made into a song, because the song does not fit the words at all. It's the most inappropriate choice of tune for these words. But be it as it may, the Medrash says, anyone who davens in Yerushalayim ki'ilu mispala lefnei kisei hakavod, it's as if you are praying in front of the kisei hakavod, shashar hashamayim husham, upesach pasuach l'shmoa tfila. So while it's true that we daven here in America, that we offer a tfila and we have the ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the same. Shar HaShamayim is in Yerushalayim. Pesach Pasuach L'Shma Tefillah. There's a gate that is open to listen to our tefillah, more so in Yerushalayim than anywhere else. So what do we do? Unfortunately, we're here. Do we stop davening? Do we stop praying? Do we stop connecting? What are we supposed to do? So there's a beautiful Gemara, Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed, where the Gemara tells us what to do. Let's read it together. Hayomid B'Chutz La'aretz. If I have the unfortunate reality to live in Chutz La'aretz, and I'm not able to be in Eretz Yisrael, Yechaven es libo keneged Eretz Yisrael, at least I should face Eretz Yisrael. Now it happens to be here we face Mizrach, because that's the direction of Eretz Yisrael. If you're on a different part of the world, you're not going to face Mizrach. Right? Make sense? You're going to face a different way. Depends where you are. Mizrach is not the important way to face. Think about why we face Mizrach. We face because we're trying to direct our tefillos toward Eretz Yisrael. Hayomei b'Eretz Yisrael. What if I'm davening in Eretz Yisrael itself? So which way do I face there? So I live in Tveria. Or I live in Eilat. Question whether it's part of Eretz Yisrael or not. Leave it alone. I live in somewhere else. So, which way do I face? The Gemara says, Yechaven es libo keneged Yerushalayim. Wherever we are in the world, we have our tefillos that are facing Yerushalayim. It's an amazing thought to consider that Jews all over the world are directing their tefillos to the same place. But the reason why is because we assume that that is the Shara Shamayim, who Pesach Pasuach L'Shema Tefillah. That is where we have the greatest chance and the greatest ability for our tefillos to be answered. Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived about 250 years ago. His father was the Chacham Tzvi. His father was the undisputed Gadol HaDor. Doesn't always mean that the child is also going to be the same. I know, trust me, I got it. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden grew himself to also become one of the greatest leaders of his generation in Germany. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes something unbelievable. And it's so insightful. It's penetrating what he says. Let's see what he writes. Yadua shachobas hamispala lechavin gufo keneged Yerushalayim. We are all familiar that when we daven, we direct our tefillah toward Yerushalayim. Everybody in the world does that. V'kan re'inu liskar Yerushalayim sheinis lemar. And here Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, let me just mention about Yerushalayim. Shalo yaspik zeharoshim v'haremesh anu osim lezecher uludugma v'simana ba'alma. Elahecha delo efshar. When do I have an imitation? When do I do something to remind me of something else? It's when I don't have the ability. So for example, a family loses a grandparent, a great-grandparent. So the children no longer have the ability to connect with that person. So what do? On the yard site, or at certain special auspicious times in the family, or during the year, they bring out artifacts that remind them of that person. Now, is that going to embody the personality? Of course not. Does that bring the person back? No, it doesn't. But it at least reawakens my sense of connection and my feeling to what it means to be united with that person again. So you'll take out a photo album, you'll look at it, and it will remind you of those experiences. It's not, of course it's not the same. It's not a substitute, but it's something. You'll take out the favorite recipe, you'll make it again. You'll remind yourself, what did it taste like every time we went to this person's house? That's what we ate, that's what they served. You'll look at the couch that they had, or whatever, something. All of that, once again, is just a zecher. It's just a way to remind ourselves of what was. Imagine if I would give you the option. I'm going to give you the opportunity to be reunited with that person. Option A. Or option B is, you can make their cookies and look at those photo albums instead. Which one would you take? It's not even a question, it's ridiculous. It's not two options. If I can have the opportunity to be with that person again and to do it real, the way it's supposed to be done, of course I would choose that. This is a fake. This is nothing. This is trying to recreate something that I'll never really be able to recreate. Writes Rabbi Yaakov Emden so beautifully. We have this idea that when we're in Chutz La'aretz, we direct our tefillos toward Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because if we're not able to live in Yerushalayim, we're not able to live in Eretz Yisrael, at least we have something. We have the photo album. We have the greatest recipe. We have things that at least direct our attention or bring us as if we are there. Writes Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that all works. It's true, it's nice, it directs our mind and our feeling and our thoughts toward Yerushalayim. It's the best thing to do under the circumstances. However, the operative word there is under the circumstances. Right, so Yaakov Emden, lo toril ha-kavana, b'makum she'ein tainas onus. If a person, let's say, is unable to keep Shabbos, why? Because I'm in the hospital and I have to do all kinds of malacha. I don't have an option. I don't have a choice. So what am I going to do? I do my best. What do? I throughout Shabbos, I say, today is Shabbos, today is this. What am I supposed to do? I have no option. I have no option. I can claim that I was an anus. I can claim I was forced. I had no other way to go about this. You can't blame me for that. Right, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that only works if you actually had no other option. However, he says, every Jew, he writes, needs to have an absolute and firm commitment. Lalos lader be'eretz Yisrael, that when it becomes available to me, when the opportunity presents itself to do it the right way, not just to direct my tefillah to face a certain way, to maybe have them go toward Yerushalayim, but when I have the opportunity to actually pick myself up and my family and go and live life the way life is supposed to be lived, am I prepared to make that commitment now in Chutz La'aretz and say, Lehishtokik liyozocha lehispal l'sham lefneheichal ha-melech? You can't claim that you're an anus now if you have absolutely no intention when it comes to really having the opportunity, if you have no intention on doing it, then it doesn't help for you to do it now. You may as well face anywhere. If you have no plan to be part of Yerushalayim Bibinyana when you're given the availability to do so, then facing Yerushalayim now is meaningless also. You're like that person, he writes, who's given option A to be reunited with the grandmother, or option B is to just eat her cookies and look at the pictures of her. And you're choosing B over A. Understand what a lack of commitment that is, he says. Chazarnu le'inyan. Skip down two lines. Misha osa b'libo haskama mukhleta. Somebody who makes an unconditional and absolute resolution. Lalos le'eretz Yisrael kishatasig yado. That they will go to Eretz Yisrael when they have the ability to do so. Now what does that mean? The financial means, the security, whatever it is that is in your way of getting there. But if you make that complete resolution to do so, and the only reason why you're here now is because you have no other choice. Look, I don't have a parnas in Eretz Yisrael. Parnas is very important. Whatever it might be. There are plenty of reasons not to be living in Eretz Yisrael also. Some of them are legitimate, some of them are not. We have to be honest. But he says, if right now I believe that I'm only here because ha-hechrach, because my hands are tied, I have no option. Oz to'elo kavanaso ha-tova. Then it works to face my tefillah toward Yerushalayim. I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day when I daven Shmona Esrei, I'm facing Yerushalayim because I wish I could be there. And let me tell you, the moment you give me the opportunity to be there, I will be. And therefore, take this in place of that. But writes Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that only works if we really firmly believe that. If we're willing to stand by that commitment, if we're willing to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu that assurance, that we really understand that our connection to Eretz Yisrael is not just a small part of our lives, but it's something that is the essence of what a Jewish life is supposed to be about. Shalach Kaddish writes, and we'll close with this. Ho v'aser liyadei davar zeh, odia masha b'libi hayabar tamid. The Shalach writes, there's something that has been burning me up for a long time. Kishe ra'o ra'isi b'nei Yisrael bonim batim kamo mibsarei hasarim. He says, I see Jews that live in Chutz La'aretz who build houses that are like palaces, that are like fortresses, castles. Osim diras keva ba'olam hazeh be'eretz hatmeya. They build a house here like assuming that they're going to be here forever. What are you going to do with that house? Writes the Shalach HaKadosh, in my opinion, it seems, Chas v'shalom kehesach hadas meha ge'ula. You obviously don't believe that you're ever going to have a ge'ula. Why would you build such a house if you believed that in a year from now you're going to be out? It's crazy to me. Unless you have so much money that you can afford to just leave it behind and build the same thing there. Or, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, I say this all the time, I had a very hard time when we purchased a house in Chutz La'aretz. I couldn't bring myself to sign on such a thing. How am I signing hundreds of thousands of dollars for a property in Chutz La'aretz where I don't want to be? It's a crazy thing to do. Now again, we have to be responsible, so you got to live somewhere. but it doesn't make sense. It's a crazy thing to do. So the only saving grace that I had for myself is the Gemara says that all the Bati Knesias and Bati Midrashos and Chutz La'aretz Asidim Lios Be'eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says somehow all of our homes that are used for Torah and Tefillah are going to come with us to Eretz Yisrael. So I was thrilled when during COVID my house became a shul. Maybe I'll have the schus to take it along with me. I have shiurim in my house. I learn there every day because I'm nervous. What am I going to do with this thing? I hope the gula will come and then I'm stuck with this property here. All that money down the garbage. It's a terrible feeling. Right? So Shalom HaKadosh, we have to think about it. We have to live life in this way. When we have the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av, it's an opportunity for us to think just a little bit about how seriously do we consider a geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to be successful. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be successful. He wants us to enjoy life. That's why He gave us this beautiful world. That's why He gave us all the pleasures of life. It's not that we should ignore it. It's that we should take advantage of it. And we should use it in the right way. But we cannot allow that to make us forget about what the end goal is. What's the direction? What's the perspective? Where are we headed? What is our efforts? Where are they direct? Where are they supposed to be going? Where should they be leading us? And are we thinking, at least somewhere in the subconscious, about what a geula life would look like for all of us? Are we worried? Are we prepared, writes the Shalom HaKadosh, to say, every asset that I have here in America is worth nothing to me, because geula is more important than all of it? How many people are prepared to say that? How many people are willing to leave it all behind? It's an important opportunity for us as we experience this time of year. There's a lot to cry about on Tisha B'Av. Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that he was actually very opposed to making a separate day of commemoration for the Shoah. He was very opposed to Yom HaShoah. I don't understand why none of his followers listened to him and why everybody commemorates Yom HaShoah in our shuls. It's against what he said very openly, very explicitly, but he was very opposed to it because he said Tisha B'Av is the day where we cry about everything. So we cry about the Crusades and we cry about all the pogroms and we cry about the Holocaust also. We don't need another day of mourning on the calendar. Now, there were those who argued the Holocaust was greater and more tragic than anything else that ever happened, so we do need a different day. It's a question. But he was very opposed to it. Tisha B'Av is a day to cry about lots of things. And it's legitimate. And we're allowed to cry about everything. And we should. And we should cry about tragedy and loss in our own lives and in our own community. Not just loss of life, but loss of quality of life also is what to cry about. Loss of relationships. All of that is devastating. All of that is worthy of crying for. But let's make sure that on Tisha B'Av we at least think a little bit, not only about all of the other reasons to cry, let's at least give a moment to think about what we're lacking without having ourselves inhabiting the land of Eretz Yisrael, having the great privilege of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the highest of levels, and making ourselves the Am HaNivchar once again, like the Sefer HaKuzari writes. How can we rise to become the ultimate Am Segula, the Am HaNivchar? It's only by being reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael. Reaching perfection outside in Chutz La'aretz is impossible. It's never going to happen. We can try as hard as we want, it will never happen. There's something missing, there's something very critical that's lacking, and that's what we look forward to, and that's what we cry about, and that's what this time of year gives us the opportunity to do once again. So, Amir Tzashem, I look forward to seeing everybody next week, where